Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I hope you're well. I'm Zach Birchie. Hope is here.
Hello.
And we're doing the show live once again. We've got a chat room. Watch my Twitter to find out when that happens if you want to participate in the chat. We'll take some Twitter questions, and then we'll take some questions from the live chat room. So thanks to everybody who showed up. But we got a little chatting to do before we get straight to the questions. We had kind of an experience yesterday.
Yes, we did.
We went to the world premiere of the live-action Attack on Titan movie that Funimation is releasing. At least it was the first part of a two-parter. And Toho, you know, was there. All their executives were there. So I assume this was kind of a hype situation. But it was an experience. It's funny because this was held at Hollywood and Highland, which is, for those who don't live in L.A., is the tourist trap section of Hollywood.
It's where all the stars, if you've seen the Hollywood stars on the boardwalk and sidewalk and shit like that, that's where a lot of that stuff is, so.
It's where the fucking Chinese theater is and all that stuff. It's a pretty crappy part of town. Like, the thing is, like, this is the second live action anime thing that I've been to there. The last time I was down there was specifically to see the live action Gantz premiere. Everyone knows how that turned out.
Yeah.
This time it went much better, thankfully, but. So they had a big premiere at the Egyptian, which is just like a block down the street from the Chinese.
Yeah.
And is in similarly kind of questionable repair, but it's like a revival house most of the time. Like, they play retrospectives there.
Yeah, and it was pretty packed in there with like the press and stuff, and then just a bunch of fans, like a bunch of people in cosplay. Unfortunately, some shirtless people in cosplay, but you know, that's how it goes with Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And shirtless, fuzzy people in cosplay, but sitting in the theater seats in the Egyptian. But the director was there, and the two leads were there, and they introduced the movie, and we were all just sort of like prepared for what we thought maybe probably the movie was going to be, and you know, prepared to they take mental notes and then write it all up, and then the movie started, and
yeah. I mean, I just want to point out how thrilled I was to have been in the presence of one Mr. Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah. So Carl Weathers was there.
He was
like,
there.
He was just there. I don't know why.
So is Eric Roberts.
I was just happy. I got to meet the Katy Perry Pomeranian.
Yeah, for some reason. So the red carpet, which is the norm now, the red carpet for events like this, if it's not A-list, it's mostly YouTube people and like a few old character actors.
It seems like most of the red carpet guests were cast members of Disney XD shows, like Power Rangers and the live action sort of stuff that some 8-year-old boys watch, but not a ton.
Yeah, and so, you know, some people where like their credits are just listed as gamer. Like, because they give you a sheet that has all the pictures of the celebrities. This is what happens when you go to a red carpet. You get if you're in the media, you get a sheet that identifies everyone who's going to be walking on the red carpet. And the only people on the sheet that I recognized were, like, of course, Carl Weathers, the Katy Perry dog, Eric Roberts, the guy from
David Kim, is what his name is?
No, Daniel Kim.
Daniel
from
Kim,
Lost, and I guess he's on Hawaii Five-0 now. Those are the people I recognized. Everyone else was YouTube or gamer or something like that.
Yeah, or a Power Ranger.
Or a Power Ranger, yeah.
New Power Ranger, no
yeah,
old
Power Rangers. Yeah, Power Rangers are easy to book, I guess.
Yep.
Largely these are people who have, like, you know, busy publicists, so they just get them on red carpets no matter where they are, what it's for.
Yeah.
But of them, Carl Weathers definitely stayed to watch the film.
Yeah, that was, he was there. He was just sort of hanging out. And what's funny is, like, they ran all the people through the red carpet with the publicist holding up a little, you know, card that said what their name was or whatever, in case you didn't know. But the Katy Perry Pomeranian, you know, Katy Perry was not here, obviously. It was just this dog that's been featured in a lot of her music videos. He had, like, a little chair that was, like, a tiny chair that was right next to the movie poster. And he just sat in that chair and sat there basically the entire red carpet. And everybody swarmed the Pomeranian. They didn't give a shit about the Disney stars or whatever. Like, Disney lower-level stars, the Power Rangers. They're like, look at the dog, you know. And, of course, the little dog's wearing a sweater. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've been to my fair share of these red carpets, like, in the last 10 years or so. And they're all basically the same, but it's kind of fun whenever you get to see one in action. But then anyway, so then the movie started, and I mean, going into this, obviously my expectations were rock fucking bottom, because of course they are.
They don't have,
because I've seen live action anime adaptations before, mm-hmm. especially out of Japan, and they're bad. Like, in general, they're bad. They're not good. They have lousy special effects, and it's J-drama acting, and it's just a bad movie, and it looks like shit most mm-hmm. of the time.
Right.
Obviously, this was a completely different experience for us, as you know, having read Hope's review, which went up this morning, and then I posted a few impressions on Twitter. But I mean, I was not expecting that shit at all, like at all, and it was immediate. Like mm-hmm. in the first 10 minutes, basically, my jaw and my like guts were on the floor. It was just like,
Well, I was surprised before any of the horror stuff kicks in, before any of the Titans bust in, there's a pretty extended sequence with just the leads just talking to each other in a pretty open, like, there's some fake, you know, it's a little CGE, but a pretty open field that looks nice and is shot fine. And the thing that struck me was they weren't doing the J-drama acting thing. It was completely naturalistic acting, and they were pretty decent actors. Like, it wasn't distracting, it wasn't, like, kiddish or anything. It was like, oh, this is, like, a real movie. And so that surprised me right off the bat. And then when the Titan showed up, it was like, fuck, you know, like, fuck, ah!
Yeah.
Entrails and people just get a close-up, so people getting eaten, and the teeth and the going down the throat. It's gross.
and so the technique that they used is what made this stuff so terrifying, because basically, so what it looks like is, it's a person. It's just a person. It's not a CG person. It's a person. They're gray. They have gross ass zombie face makeup and stuff.
Yeah, like,
so, kind of, but it looks like the ones in it's sort of a human approximation of what they look like in the comics.
Well, there's a large variation, because some of them, every once in a while, I don't think any of them looked 100% human, but every once in a while there's one that looks like 100% human with just like a flesh-colored jockstrap that's been blended out, so they don't have any genitals. But like, and they don't have nipples either. But like, most of them are some variation of, it's a normal human, but they have an outsized, like, gut, or their hand is too big, or, and none of it looks cartoonish. It's all, like, just slight modifications. Like, the first one that they show you, like, that isn't the Colossal Titan, is a guy who is, his face is a little flat, and he has big eye hollows. Eye hollows that are bigger than a normal eye socket, but the eyes are tiny. And it's a perspective trick that they use CG to make, where he's got sort of weird facialness, and his mouth is too big.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff like that, where it's just meant to be a slight tweak on a person's face. But they're all people, like,
touching
things.
Yeah, it is, like, for the fat guys, it's just a fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't do anything to him, really. Like, it's just a fat guy. And the thing is, like, they got the scale right. And they managed to make it so that the shots with people and Titans in them, it was never like you saw a person who was large enough on the screen to be like a mid shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
they never put a Titan in the same shot as like a house and a person, mm-hmm. where it's just a flat, straight ahead view.
Yeah.
Like, they managed to get the perspective right on all of this stuff, so you really felt the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it fucking terrifying when they start stomping around and like they get these big grinning faces and they make these horrible noises and they just start picking people up.
The noises are not the same as the anime at all. You know, the Colossal Titan shows up and he's very stoic. In this, he's sort of a screaming hell monster. The Colossal Titan is, first of all, constantly on fire. Like he looks like a living volcano. And it's a kaiju makeup, like it's rubber, but they put like translucency over it, so he's sort of wet and stuff. And he's just screaming and shaking the wall, and he's like upset. He looks like a weird Silent Hill monster, and yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't show. He only shows up that once.
Right. Well, that's the story as well.
The regular sized Titans. They looked that way. They were scary in every single shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just thrilled with it. I was like, I felt like I was seeing something new. Mm-hmm. And like, you do not ever see new horror imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will see like a twist on an old thing, or you know, like the Babadook where they made it move kind of like stop motion.
Yeah.
But like that, like you can't have. Super realistic, glossy CG,
mm-hmm.
or these things wouldn't have been scary at all. They would have been big, stupid cartoon monsters, and it wouldn't have been scary.
Yeah.
It would have been shitty. Like, so this kind of achieves, in a way, it's very similar to the Babadook, mm-hmm. where the Babadook moves with, like, the stop motion, and that makes it scary, because mm-hmm. it seems unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like that. It's like a different technique. It is its own aesthetic, in as much as, like, it is a concentrated, like, concerned thing, or, what am I trying to say? Cohesive, yeah, it's a cohesive aesthetic.
Yeah, because it's not,
they're aiming for.
It's not like the effects are always, like, super impressive, but you can tell, like, the buildings are CG sometimes, and you can tell when they're using the ODM gear that it's a little bit, like,
jank. Yeah.
But it's fine, like, it just feels like you're watching a nightmare, like, it doesn't feel like there's elements from different movies, or you can see the strings to the puppet thing. It's like, it just feels like a weird. It's like the only thing I've seen that is filmed kind of like that Attack on Titan movie is music videos and experimental films, like maybe like a Korn video or some shit. But so we'll imagine that for like a runtime and not like a music video, and that's, you know, that's kind of what it's like.
Yeah, totally. I was so impressed. Mm-hmm. The middle of it kind of sucks. Like it does sag in the middle. Like,
I wouldn't say sucks.
It doesn't sag, but it bogs itself down. Yeah,
It gets needlessly uncomfortable. Like I mentioned the Silent Hill thing. They have Aaron when the Titans are not on screen, and there's this little middle second act when it's more about the characters. The places Aaron goes are sort of supposed to be reflections of, you know, his horrible psychological journey that he's taking, slowly spiraling down. So there's like a weird piano room with like feathers, and there's a gated thing with like hands coming through it, the disenfranchised sending their children off to war and shit like that. And it's cool imagery, but it does, like, some of it relies on some gross like narrative ideas and things like that, and it just sags a little bit. And then the Titans show back up and it's like, oh.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't ever want to see him again because they scared me in the beginning of the movie, but they did save the film, like, once they showed up again, because then it got super awesome again. And, yeah, so it gets a little slow in the middle, but I don't know. Easily the best live-action anime adaptation I have ever seen.
It is jacked. It is not remotely like the source material. It is so unlike the source material that the theme song... Like, the thing that there were a bunch of little things I wanted to put in the review, and there wasn't space, and I didn't need to spoil anything, but it would be weird if the theme song, which is, you think of the theme song, you think of Attack on Titan. This movie is so different that you couldn't put that theme song anywhere near the movie, period. I don't even think you could put it in the opening or ending credits. Like, it's just, it's too triumphant, and there's absolutely nothing triumphant about that movie. It's just a, like, break Aaron exploration of his psyche and world affairs and shit. Like, yeah. That's, you know,
grim fucking horror movie that it's kind of relentless.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't let up at all. There's only a little levity, and it all comes with the potato girl, and it's mm-hmm. totally forced, and there's too much of it. And I was like,
you know, I don't even think that was that bad, because, yeah, it's a little levity, but it's not too cartoony. Like, the comedy comes from Hanji, being a mad scientist, and Sasha wanting to eat a lot. But even Sasha wanting to eat a lot, like, they establish, this is true in the comics as well, but they establish immediately, like, in her intro scene in the movie, that the reason she eats a lot is because she came from a starving family and they're, like, pushing her into the war. So, like, it adds a little gravitas to her, where she's like, you know, potatoes, can I have yours? Are you going to eat that? And it's like, oh, right, she's starving. So it's a little different.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just overall, yeah, can't recommend it enough. If you're curious, if you just want to see like something new in a horror movie, like this is something to see. Like, I don't know. And I'm not like I'm not a fan really of Attack on Titan. I don't think it's bad. I kind of have no opinion. Like, it exists. It's fine. Uh-huh. The show and the manga and the anime both kind of, you know, didn't really grab me. But yeah. This, I was like, this I could totally get behind. Like, I'm really looking forward to the second part.
I feel like the like peak, you know. If I feel like the opening attack by the Titans should do it for you. But if it doesn't, like, you definitely want to see the stuff near the end with people getting eaten and it following them getting eaten down into the stomach.
Yeah,
the
it mouth. Gets
that's,
real gross.
That's where you really want to see. It's like, holy shit! Like, they don't pull away or temper it for you. Kind of, it's like, no, they are being covered in drool and like. Grabbing onto buds on like a tongue, and it's just it's so nasty, you know. So,
seems yeah. slide down the esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good,
like struggling the whole way, trying to pull themselves out, and they can't. It's just very, very loud and visceral.
Yeah, the whole movie's like super fucking gross. Like, it's so gross.
It's really disgusting.
But anyway, so yeah, it was. I feel like I can say unequivocally, it was fucking awesome. And I really enjoyed the experience, and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, just, if you're a fan of the show, like, don't put all your expectations away. If you're not, and you like horror movies, if you like, Japanese horror, and you like, the Silent Hill games or End of Evangelion, like, that's what this is.
So, people can actually watch this and probably, and they're gonna be like, you guys hyped it up too much, and we, you know, sure.
Probably.
But, it's, you can see it for yourself and tell us how we're wrong, like, in the fall. So, yeah. I think they're gonna open both of them at the same time here, like, in one theatrical event or something like that, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the summer season has started, and, you know, it sure did start.
It started, yeah.
You're watching a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, the trick with this season is, like, there's no real standout, like, hits to, like, really capture people. So it's a bunch of striated genre, like, solid genre things. So I'm looking at, like, a bunch of different, completely different genre action-y, plotty things to see which plots, like, hold. So that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's nothing for me. Like, I there's stuff that maybe I'll check it out down the road if people say it's worth watching, but I've got a feeling that this is all, I'm not gonna ever revisit any of this stuff. Like, it's just, this season's just gonna come and go.
Right.
And hopefully there will be, you know, try again in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It feels like a total whiff, like, more so than the spring. The spring had, like, at least two or three things that were, like, really stand out.
I disagree. Okay, spring had Blood Blockade Battlefront, and then it had a bunch of healing stuff and, like, character stuff, but it's, like, super healing-y. If you like that sort of thing. If you love that sort of thing, spring was great. If you like things with plots and stakes, like, spring was the worst. Like, it was the worst season in a long time. This summer's not great either. Like, it's not as good as winter of this year or most seasons last year, but it has things with plots and stakes and comedy and, like, emotions other than soothing. So, Spring had, like, emotions that are soothing and Blood Blockade Battlefront, which was fantastic, but I do like a lot more variety. This has more variety, so I like variety, and that's good.
I guess this is like having like 10 different kinds of bland. Like, it's an action show, but it's bland. It's a fairy tale show, but it's bland. Like, everything has the asterisks, but it's bland afterward.
I wouldn't say bland. Let's see. Of the stuff I'm following, the four things I'm most excited for are Raka, which isn't bland. It's like talky, I guess. Has a cool aesthetic. Charlotte, which is not bland at all. It might like piss you off because it's too melodramatic, maybe, but bland is not the word. And then what else my brain just went blank because I was thinking of the thing that I'm not that into, which is Gangsta. Like, everybody's like, oh, Gangsta.
Yeah, me too.
That's bland.
I don't get it. What is up with that show? Why do people like it so much?
You know, I like Nico a lot. I like that protagonist, but I don't, you need a story. You know, he can't carry the show all on his own. It's enough for me to still follow it, but You know, one great character can't bring that show up. It needs something more, but it's got time, I guess, to build that, maybe.
I just thought it was super boring, and it's all brown and green, and I thought the animation was all super mushy, and, like, people were kind of arguing with me on that. But the character outlines were changing in every other frame.
Like, I don't... Manglobe is the poster child for, like, yeah, it looks like we have cool designs, but we're not going to animate it. Like, Manglobe goes mushy so fast. Like, they go into Gainax's sixth episode of a thing so fast that, yeah, fourth or sixth episode of a thing. Snow White is for girls, but, you know, it's nice, and it's well animated, and it's smart, and it's good. But, yeah, like, you could accuse Snow White of being bland. It's not bland for me, but, like, I get that. And then Monster Girls is not bland, that's not the word for it, but I am greatly enjoying that as well, so.
Yeah, that seems okay. I mean, I'm not sure I'm ever going to watch that show, but.
It's just titty, like, it's yeah, just it's comedy just, and titties.
Right.
The newest episode was today, and it had a harpy and a centaur. And the harpy is literally a bird brain, like, she's extremely stupid, and that's kind of the joke. And, it's like she forgets things as soon as she learned them, and she's really dumb. And then the centaur has huge boobs and
a horse butt.
And a horse ass, yeah. But, I mean, like, the guy rides her, which is, like, a privilege or whatever. You're not supposed to be able to ride a centaur, like, but she runs really fast, so what does he grab to keep himself from falling off of her? Well, her giant tits. So that's the joke. And, yeah, It's amazing, but it's tasteless, pure tasteless, like, titty comedy, so, yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I don't know, we'll see. It's only, you know, the second week, so maybe some of this stuff will pick up, and there will be some standouts, and, mm-hmm. you know, it'll be more obvious what people are actually enjoying that isn't just the obvious kind of stuff with a little bit of hype behind it, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's gangsta, like, that... just yeah. has some hype behind it, which...
Yeah, it does, but I don't...
I guess people just like that manga.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about the aesthetic is that it's the thing that struck me about it is, like, oh, this show is for girls. Like, this show is for Fujoshi.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's a mafia story, and it's hardened, and it's rough, and it's et cetera, but it is, like, the most, like, ogling its two protagonists hardcore, and they are fantasy boyfriends, too, so... And it's written by a woman, so... It's some... There's some fantasy boyfriend shit going on in there.
Okay. All right. All right. So, let's take some questions, then. We got a few here. The first one, actually comes from, AskFM. I got this question through AskFM, but it really is a question for the podcast. He says, it was submitted anonymously. The guy asks, the classic reviews are a really cool idea. How did the idea for them come about, and how exactly do they work? Do the writers choose them, or do the staff choose the shows for the writers? Are there any shows that you personally would like to do for this? Okay, so we cannot take, obviously, any credit for the idea of doing classic reviews. I mean,
yeah.
Most sites that do episodic television reviewing do classic shows. It's kind of a no-brainer. I'm glad you're excited about the idea. We are too. Basically, like, I asked the writers, like, you know, it seemed like kind of a light season. It seemed like we would have more slots. Like, the way mm-hmm. daily streaming works is we have a set number of writers, and then we have a set number of slots per writer.
Yeah.
So each writer has three slots, unless they elect to take a fourth, which they can do.
Yeah, in only, like, specific circumstances, basically.
Yeah, in specific circumstances. And so, So typically, you know, we'll assign people slots based on what they request, and then if there are leftovers, we assign them to other people and all that stuff. So this time I said, okay, it looks like we're going to have a spare slot or two who would be interested in doing a classic review. We kind of want to try this just to see how it goes. And I said, so if you're interested in this, you know, reply in the affirmative and then tell me, you know, the top three or the top three or five shows that you would want to do for something like that. Like, what would you want to cover if you were asked to do a classic show? Bearing in mind, you have to have not seen it before, and it can't be more than 13 episodes for this initial run.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a few of the writers got back to me, and Nick had selected Paranoia Agent, and I was like, well, that's perfect. you know, here's a show that, you know, it unfortunately turned out to not be perfect because I'd forgotten that those DVDs were out of print. So it's a little hard to get your hands on. And next time we do one of these, we'll pick something that is for sure streaming somewhere legally so that people can follow along. Yeah, so it's kind of an experiment. We're going to see what the traffic is like on the classic stuff. And if it's good and moving forward, if we have slots available, we'll, you know, we'll keep going with it. We might add it permanently if it's a really big success. So far, the numbers are not pointing to big enough success that we'll have it every time, no matter what. But it's looking like it wasn't a bad idea to put it in there just because we had a spare slot. Yeah, we'll keep going with it. Right now, we really can't expand past 13 episodes or so, because the problem is that the slots and the number of slots changes every single season, but it kind of stays, it doesn't stray too far from about 28 to 30. So if we commit one person to like a 52 episode show, that's a year. That's a whole year where they have one slot that's filled. So, like, I hope that makes sense. Basically, like, we are permanently almost taking away a slot from a writer by giving them a show that's 52 episodes long.
Well, in fairness, usually, I mean, if it's classic, you know, that's not going to, that's, the problem is we want to pick something for classic that doesn't happen. But if that accidentally sort of happens with, like, normal coverage, like Ushio and Tora is supposed to go for 50 episodes, like, the odds that they will drop it at some point are pretty high, because shows that long tend to repeat themselves and get into a formula. If they don't, like, it's really something special and people are still paying attention. But if not, it's not like there's any hard rules. So.
Right. And, you know, come October, we'll do another poll. And if Ushio and Tora polls at less than 10%, we'll probably yank it. So, right.
Yeah. If people, you know, people curious as to like what we didn't cover or whatever, or what didn't go out, like, it probably pulled like less than 10%. That's what tends to happen if we don't cover something. Like,
yeah. They fall to less than 10%. So that's kind of how that works. Legend of the Galactic Heroes. Well, so someone in the chat had brought up Legend of the Galactic Heroes, and you know, we will review that, but we will probably do it in big chunks. I don't know that I want to commit someone to writing that show up every single week, especially because I've seen plenty of Legend of the Galactic Heroes, and some of those episodes, there is not that much to talk about. Like, some politics happened. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure. I think that would be better as, like, a set, but a chunk of episodes at a time, box set at a time or whatever. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to the Twitter questions. All right, from CM Branford, have you guys watched any of the free Eternal Summer dub? And if so, what did you think? So, you did, so...
No, I didn't. I knew the cast, and then I didn't.
You didn't? I thought you did. I thought you...
No, I heard the cast, and I thought, I never have to listen to that. Like, never.
Well,
I know
that's
what it's
kind
sound
of
like.
Dismissive, isn't it?
Well, I mean, like, from what I heard, I wasn't wrong. And I'm never that dismissive. I saw what they were doing, and I said I'm not the intended audience for this dub. And I don't think that they're going to try to be faithful, and there's no way I'm going to appreciate it because of what they are doing, clearly doing with the casting. So I maybe that's completely unfair of me, but I just don't need to see it. I'm not like a super fan of Free or whatever. I saw it, it's nice, but I don't need to revisit it, so I just, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have a first-hand opinion on that.
Okay, well, in which case, neither of us have an opinion because neither of us have watched it. I mean, effectively, this is a dub that feels like it's from, like, 2007.
Yeah, it is.
It's for, like, Funimation fangirls specifically.
Yeah, it was cast straight up without regard to characters, per se. Like, it's not completely off, but it's mostly without regard to characters. It is, let's cast the five most, like, the five guys that have the biggest female fan bases. Which is not invalid because of the type of show that Free is and who it is meant to appeal to. So I understand why they did it, but it meant that I knew kind of what that was going to be like and what the appeal was, and the guy who was writing the script and everything. I was like, okay, I know what this is going to sound like, and there's no reason for me to even be interested. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yep, all right. Okay, Random 2121 asks, since we already know your favorite, or at least Hope's favorite, what was your biggest disappointment from last season? Let me try to remember what was in the spring.
Plastic memories.
Yeah, no
shit. Holy
shit. Right? That, yeah. We were going to do, like, an editorial on, like, hey, here's how you fix plastic memories, but we decided that would kind of come across as presumptuous no matter how we did.
Yeah, I felt like there was enough. I felt like that was kind of the consensus on the show, so I was comfortable going forward with it, but ultimately it was just like, eh, it might not be worth all the effort. Like, but, yeah, it was like, the plastic memories problem is really simple. They had like a movie's length of story and 12 episodes of a TV show, and they decided to fill those up with the worst comedy ever, and then like to tell you they have a sci-fi premise, but it's really just a backing to this typical dying girl melodrama thing. And the dying girl melodrama is fine. Like it's perfectly adequate. It's not bad or cheap or like low rent. It is a well-done dying girl melodrama, but I wish that the actual sci-fi premise had been delivered on, because they acted really hard like they were going to, and then went psych, and then delivered terrible, like, sub-Rumika Takahashi, like, decades ago comedy in it.
Sub-Takahashi comedy.
Sub-decades ago Takahashi comedy. It was bad.
Yeah, because she's evolved so much.
No, but I'm trying to hammer home how much the comedy did not work, I think, for anybody.
Right. Because
the complaints were pretty intense about it.
Yeah. I'd have to say, like, I thought Arslan was going to be a thing. I thought I was going to watch that. And, nope. I know that story. They were moving too slow for me anyway. And the Arakawa character designs just... I think her stuff looks generic. Everybody looks the same, and it's kind of bland, and I don't like it that much. So, yeah, it was unfortunately the execution on that was just not enough for me.
I would have been okay with the designs, but the story is not interesting. It was boring. It's boring. The characters are boring. The story was boring. It's musty old fantasy novel stuff without much flavor. I feel like such a pessimist, but last season was so bad. It was so boring. I was so bored when Blood Blockade wasn't on. And Blood Blockade's not over. I still haven't seen the end of it. God damn it.
Right. No one has.
Sad.
Who knows when we'll finally get that.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was some good stuff last season. It wasn't all disappointments or anything.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't all bad. It was pasty.
I think,
like,
you were
even
just...
I liked my love story, but it was pasty. Like,
I think you were just paying the price for having Blood Blockade...
Yeah.
Like, you sucked up all the, like, wish fulfillment perfect show, like, for you
right.
thing.
It's not fair.
So the rest of us got stuck with a bunch of
right.
junk.
And Winter had so many good things. It wasn't just stuff that aired in Winter. Like, people were like, oh, looking back, the Winter list doesn't seem that excessive. It's like, you're forgetting the stuff that carried over from fall of last year and was still running. It was a bunch of really strong stuff. And so carryovers from fall plus the good stuff in Winter. Like, if you like... like, ambitious or arty anime, like, it was great. And then the lull that followed, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One-Eyed Jax asks, which movie are you less interested in, Ant-Man or Fantastic Four? Well, Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, easily, yeah.
Like, I have tickets for... we're gonna see Ant-Man tomorrow night.
I'll
give it a shot. Whatever. Fantastic Four, I'm actively disinterested in seeing.
Yeah.
Like, I've never cared about those characters, and yeah, I just, whatever.
The trailers are not, like, ringing my bell.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be, like, a weirdo about it or anything, but that Miles Teller kid as Reed Richards... like, they have to... the posters for that, they are photoshopping his head to be bigger. Like, the top of his head to be longer, because he has kind of a weird, rounded, kind of a toe head.
Yeah.
So they're photoshopping his head so it looks like he has more of, like, a traditionally, like, manly forehead.
Mm.
I don't know, man. It doesn't look good. Mm. And they made two shitty Fantastic Four movies already.
It's like, no, it's okay, you're done. I can do it this time, no, it's okay. You don't have to try so hard.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Fox superhero movies outside of the main line X-Men films are kind of no thanks. Mm. Everyone was like losing their shit over that Deadpool trailer, and it seemed like the most irritating thing in the world to me.
I still haven't seen that Deadpool
good trailer. Good for you. Don't. Okay. Don't see it.
Okay.
It exactly what you think it is. It just, in your mind's eye, come up with the most obnoxious fucking thing that you could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. Like, except it kind of feels like it was written by, like, Mark Miller or something like that.
Well, that's a big except.
Yeah. Deadpool always has always felt like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Whatever. Let's see. Cyber Mormon asks, given the success of the new Attack on Titan movie, well, okay, we liked it. It's not a success yet.
We don't know.
We could totally be in a minority. Everyone's going to see it and be like, what the fuck are you guys smoking?
Yeah, no, I feel like, so the thing I felt was necessary to mention about that Attack on Titan movie is I feel like if people go into, like, if the only attention that it gets, I feel like the attention it should get is from J-horror fans. Because if the only attention it gets is from fans of the anime and manga, they may hate it. Like, they may hate it.
Yeah, I could see, like, playing that at an anime con and people being, like, getting mad because it's different.
Because it's different and it is not, like, a large part of the reason people love Attack on Titan is because you feel that, like, brotherhood of humanity and that, like, triumph, and it is such a downer. That movie is such a downer, and it waters down the characters and then, like, absolutely punishes a couple of them.
Yeah.
It is not, you are not gonna, like, woohoo! Like, there were people crying woohoo in the theater at certain moments, like, and there were a couple fist pump moments, like, there's, it's not a spoiler to say that John and, Aaron fight, and there's some good zingers in that fight and some woohoo moments, but for the most part, it's not a pleasant. You're not going to be like, yay! It's like, you know, so, I mean, that could be, people could hate it. I could see it very easily.
We have an interview and a press conference going up that, where they were very insistent that the creator of the manga told them, please make whatever you want.
Yeah. He said, keep the premise.
He said, maybe keep the premise, but don't just make this into a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, do your own thing. They were very insistent on that.
And
so.
Production on it, the interesting, oh man, the biggest thing about this, production on that movie started in 2012 before the anime had come out.
Yeah.
They said it took 1 year for them to cement what they wanted the script and tone to be like. And that script is tight. Like, even the places it sags because they're trying out, like, different types of horror for when the Titans aren't the impetus and it's maybe a little dodgy, but it's not, there's no chaff in it, there's no awkward dialogue, like, that script is super good for a horror movie. So yeah, like, it you could tell this had a long tail and they focused very heavily on what they wanted it to be, but it's not like the manga at all. So yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't even get to the rest of the question. He says, could a live-action U.S. adaptation be a thing? What's the process for that? Well, the process is, which I think has already happened, I'm sure some studio has the rights, has optioned Attack on Titan. Maybe, I mean, we'll see how that second season does. If they were going to strike while that iron was hot, they would have done it last year. But the second season starts next year. So maybe when that happens, U.S. studios will take interest again. But I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't want to see that version. I don't need to see that glossy, big budget CG, everything CG version. I don't. Now that I've seen this, I don't need to see it done with. I don't need that movie to look like the fucking Avengers.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'd bite. I would definitely be interested, but I wouldn't. If it but then again,
curious,
I would be interested because if it fucking sucks, it wouldn't crush my heart or whatever. Like, I have, you know, I already have a good movie version, even though it's very different. Like, and I have the anime, so it wouldn't crush my heart if it was bad. I would just be interested.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, some people act like, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, people act like a new version of a thing ruins the old thing, which is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, I don't. If they made that, it'd be like, okay.
All right.
Whatever. I'm glad we got this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Peatoja, however you say this, says, does Zack Snyder have a 9/11 fetish? I mean, we could sit here and count Zack Snyder's fetishes.
Yeah.
For a long time. I feel like he has a lot of them.
Do you have six hands? Can you count?
That's probably one of them. I meant
that many fingers, but yeah.
Exploiting 9/11 imagery for cheap emotion is definitely one of his things.
Yes.
God, man, that movie, Batman vs. Superman, it looks like a parody. Like, they had two in a row of movies that look like a parody of culture right now.
Do you believe?
Like, that is like a parody of those kinds of gritty superhero movies. And then the trailer for Suicide Squad seriously seems like it's a joke. Like, you're not fucking serious.
I'm just gonna hurt you real bad. Oh, Jared Leto, you already have. You already have.
Whatever, I'll probably see both of those films, but...
What is this, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Hey.
Thanks, Will Smith.
Are we on some kind of Suicide Squad?
Well, yes, we are. That is the title of the film. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Some kind of self-harm brigade? Okay, Zach's suit asks... Thoughts on Crunchyroll bringing over Ultraman X? Also, will you be doing episode reviews of it? Second part first, no, I don't think so. As it was explained to me very thoroughly on Twitter earlier today, the audience for that is relatively small, and they already have their places where they go to read about it, and they wouldn't even know to come to ANN for something like that.
Right.
I have 10 years of tracking data that tells me that the audience that reads about tokusatsu on ANN is very small. Uh-huh. So it was a risk to begin with. And, you know, producing content costs money, and I don't want to just throw money down a hole. So I kind of need someone to read that if we publish it. And so the answer is no.
Yeah.
We're going to consider doing, like, DVD box sets. We'll try doing, like, a few toku reviews of some DVDs and see maybe if some of those catch on. Uh-huh. But good for them for getting it. I would imagine all of that stuff will start coming over soon enough.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be nice for those fans that they have, like, a legal option for it, because there's really not.
Yep. Okay. Loam Life asks, does Hope have anything to say about Fire Emblem Fates? Ugh.
No. No, really, honestly, no. It's a weird double-edged sword, because I feel that it's wrong for me to be dismissive of people who are upset by it. But my own personal take is, you are aware this is Fire Emblem. This is not a story-driven... I mean, it's... quote-unquote story-driven, but Fire Emblem has never had... Like, if you want good representation or good character writing, that is not something that has literally ever existed in Fire Emblem. So, I understand you have every right to be offended, I get it, but it's a JRPG with extremely tropey, one-note characters and a lot of lore, and it's a great... I love playing those games, and I even love the story in the GameCube versions of the games, but not because it was... complex or realistic or thought-provoking, but because it was sort of fun and wacky and weird and high stakes. High stakes is the word. It was sort of Star Wars-y, where it's like, you know, here's fight the guy who killed your dad, but he's also this guy, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I understand why people are getting upset, and I think they have every right to get upset, but they are like burning down buildings upset, and it's like, what were you expecting? This is a JRPG with some really tropey, dumb, backwards, silly stuff in it. I don't know. So I'm torn. But yeah, I don't have strong feelings on it, because I don't take Fire Emblem too seriously. But that's me.
I think what they're basically guaranteeing is that whatever version winds up over here, the localization will be careful, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not gonna... I mean, they respond to the Tomodachi Life stuff, and,
yeah. You
know, when they get it wrong, they acknowledge it. They just keep getting it wrong, I guess, so...
I saw the full content. I don't have strong feelings about it, but I did follow the full controversy, because a lot of people were talking about it, and some of the stuff that people... we're talking about being in the games was made up. Like, it was like, and this happens, and it's like, whoa, 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 it's not like that. In fact, it seems like the controversy, the actual thing that's in the games, is not particularly convoluted, heinous, offensive. It's a very benignly, like, thoughtless, simple offensive. And people sort of make up extra details and twist it around in other directions to make it seem even more over the top, and it's like, it's pretty simple to explain. It's not hard to explain what the story is and why it's a problem for some people, but it's, you don't have to make it like, people are turning it into a soap opera of offensive things about one character or two. And it's like, it's not that complicated, you know.
Well, I mean, hopefully Nintendo will just do the right thing, and whatever localized version comes out, they'll just, you know, fix it. Just make people happy. Just do whatever they're asking. If it doesn't matter if it's just a Fire Emblem game, then it doesn't fucking matter. And just change it and, you know, make people happy.
Yeah, it would. I'm sure it's extremely easy to just scrub out the dialogue that's causing problems.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Jeff Tebbets asks, first impressions only so far, but did Funimation or Crunchyroll win the first week of summer 2015? Okay, so... Can we not do that? Because I don't really want to do this, like, scorekeeping thing where, like, this person got more shows that people like, and this person got fewer shows that... Yeah, I mean, Jeff's a good dude and everything. I'm just saying, I've seen this, this attitude or this question kind of come up more than once, and if we start doing like the score,
does it come from E3?
Then, like, yeah, it definitely comes from E3. Like, who wins E3? Like, just yeah, like it's important to watch in our line of work. It's important to watch this, and it's important to note like the differences in their approaches to streaming and all of that stuff. But declaring a winner is really dumb. Really dumb. I would never do that. Because then, you know, not only would it then I if it faced my professional contacts at both of those companies, and then they'd be like, so declaring winners now, are you? And it'd be like, okay, you know what, I'm not gonna fucking get into this. Like, I benefit in no way from doing anything like that. Besides which, that statement is always going to be loaded with ignorance because you have no idea who spent what on what and what kind of deal they got and how much. Because the real winner is the person that made the most money on the shit that they're streaming, and we have no access to any of that information.
Right.
So why speculate?
Right.
Anyway. Okay. TD Crimson King asks, what stuff from the Blood Blockade manga do you wish they'd included in the anime, and what stuff are you glad they didn't include?
All the stuff with extra characters in the end. So I, you know, when I say wish they'd include, I don't... That's not true. They fit so much. They packed so much into that show. They couldn't fit anything else. And I, without taking out the meta-narrative, like the overarching plot with Black and White, which I like, I wouldn't want them to take that out. I think it fits perfectly within the material, and I like it. So they don't have room to put anything else in those 12 episodes. What we need is a second season. But of the stuff that I've seen in the manga that I like, I love all the stuff with Chain. Like, Chain is a great character, and they basically... Any little chapters that she has, her big chapter kind of comes after the stuff they already put in the first season, but all the little chapters that she has and the little roles that she has kind of got cut from the show, and if I had to speculate as to why, it would be that Blood Blockade is a big hit with Fujoshi, and so they want to focus more on the male characters, because that's what the Fujoshi like. But I mean, Chain is great, and so I feel bad that she's not in it more. Stuff that I'm glad they didn't include, typical Naitao diversions into... really ridiculous gross things. There is a chapter where Zap gets a hex on his... Okay, so Zap visits many ladies of the evening, and one of them who is not one of his, she just lives in the hostel or whatever, she puts a hex on his dick, and she's going to blow it off if he doesn't find her pet Siamese cat that she's sort of partially responsible for escaping. And so it is his journey around the city looking for a cat, which he doesn't know what a cat is. He's never seen one because he grew up in Hell Salem's lot. And his... at the threat of losing his penis. So there you go. Like, that didn't need to be in the show. And it's not. So, dumb things like that that Naito likes to do because he likes gross things. And I appreciate that he likes gross things, and it's fun to read it, but it's like, yeah, they didn't need to include that. That's fine. You can cut that. So, you know.
Yeah, you're, like, what, on volume, like, 5 or something like that?
I've read 6 out of the 7 that are available here, so yeah.
Okay, Trick the TM asks, next 90s revival that you're hoping for? I mean, I've answered this question a million times, and the answer is always Fushigi Yugi. So, you know, you're not going to get a different answer until we get Fushigi Yugi, you know, Nouveau, or whatever they want to call it.
Right.
I mean, what about you?
Miracle Law. I already got the one that I wanted with JoJo's, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, that's it. No more remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, that takes care of...
We got Ushio and Tora this season. Yeah, aren't you pining for
I'm so excited about that. So that takes care of most of the Twitter questions we got. We can now take some questions from the chat if anyone has them. So toss them out now, and we will get to these. Lobo Kendo asks, do you think school life has the possibility for improvement? I mean, I didn't watch the second episode, and I mean, the first episode, that twist was executed really well, but it didn't make me want to watch more.
That kind of sums up my feelings. Yeah. I was like, hey, they did a good job with, like, that reveal, so it was scary, and it made you sort of think about all the little dumb things you saw earlier. But, so that means now that it is a interesting premise where once there was absolutely nothing. But it's still not as, I still don't have any reason to watch it compared to the much better stuff this season, so.
Right. Yep. Okay. Lot of questions on Dragon Ball Super and what is going on with Dragon Ball Super. Okay, so this is just an educated guess. I don't know exactly what is happening with Dragon Ball Super, but I can tell you what I think is happening with Dragon Ball Super. What I think is happening with Dragon Ball Super is that Toei or, well, somebody involved in the production... more than likely Toei, wants that show to be on American television, and for whatever reason, that contract could not get signed, or it couldn't be handled fast enough to get it on the air before, figure out a broadcast situation a la Space Dandy, to get that thing on the air here at the same time it's airing in Japan. I'm guessing. But that seems like a holdout. Like, maybe that's the holdout of what's happening with that show, why it's not being simulcast. Like, I would imagine that still it is important to them to be on American broadcast television. That would not be a surprise to me at all if that turned out. So I think that's what's happening. I think Funimation likely has the show and they can't do anything with it yet. Because Toei won't let him. I think that's what's happening. And I could be totally wrong about this. They could have lost that license to someone else. Or Toei could be holding him back for other reasons. Or Funimation is like, no, we're not going to... I don't think any of that is likely. I think the most likely scenario is they want it on TV and they weren't able to get it on TV yet. Or there has to be a delay or something. So that's what I think is happening with Dragon Ball Super.
Uh-huh.
Again, just speculation. Okay. Somebody asked what the potential MPAA rating for the Attack on Titan movie would be. I mean, I would give it an R, absolutely. Like,
it's an R-rated
film. It's very much for adults.
Yeah, it's not just the gore. Like, the gore is one thing, but I could see the splatter being considered not quite enough
for
an R. But it's the themes and the approach. It is for this movie is for adults. Like,
yeah, and we don't mean like mature adults. We just mean like not appropriate for children.
No, which is funny because they were taking questions about the movie or whatever, and somebody asked the director, is like, well, you know, what did you feel about the hyper-violent content in the source material? How is that going to be in the movie? Because we hadn't seen it yet. And he said, well, I have two children, so I tried to be, like, clement about it or whatever. And it was watching that movie. It's like, I hope you're not showing that to your two children, because Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah, totally. Okay, let's see here. We also have a question from MDGS. It says, do the editorials do well for the site, and do you and your writers enjoy writing them? They do fucking amazing for the site, and yeah, we enjoy writing them. At least I've enjoyed writing the ones that I have. I'm working on one on live-action anime adaptations, which means I'm watching a lot of them right now, which is not fun. But that's what I'm working on now. We have a bunch of them in the pipeline. Those have been really great. Like, they allow us to be pretty creative, and they do really well for us. Mm-hmm. So, that's a big success. We're very happy with those.
Yeah.
And they will keep going for as long as I'm doing this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another random username asks, what's up with that World Trigger dub that Toei showed off at Anime Expo? So that was likely Toei trying to drum up interest in somebody picking up World Trigger for either broadcast or streaming or DVD or more than streaming. Obviously, it's already streaming, but they were trying to... Usually when that happens, it's them trying to drum up some interest. Mm. You know, they did that with JoJo's last year, right? Mm. And, you know, that eventually got picked up. So mm-hmm. we'll see. World Trigger looks like total crap, so I don't know if they fixed it up. Like, they were probably using the Blu-ray versions, which I would imagine are fixed up, but damn, that show looks bad.
Yeah.
Okay, Elaine says, why do you think Bang Zoom was hosting an AVA panel at AX? I have no earthly idea.
That is a giant question mark.
They didn't say anything really about it at all while they were there, and no news came out of that event, so I think it was just somebody asked Bang Zoom to put on that show. Mm-hmm. They probably had a lot of Evangelion fans on staff, and so they were asked to do it. I mean, I have nobody has any idea what is happening with Evangelion right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that... The 3.33 still has no release date. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The TV show has not been picked up, has not been licensed to our knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. I hope something happens with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bubby asks, what was your favorite or most interesting announcement from Anime Expo? And then we got another question that was, what was the favorite thing you did at Anime Expo? AX was good this year. Wasn't as crowded as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. You could move.
Yeah.
We spent the entire weekend doing nothing but interviews.
Yep.
Like, we did not see hardly any of the convention at all. Mm-hmm. Like, we were in meeting rooms interviewing people the entire time.
It was interviews, running some panel coverage, working on preview guide a little bit, and then I took moments to go, like, buy stuff from the dealer's room.
Yeah,
and
we got a little shopping in. We got, like, a little... everything. I think we got less than an hour of shopping overall.
Yeah, well, it was efficient. Like, super efficient. I knew what I wanted, and I got it, so...
Yeah, so, I don't know. But we had a lot of fun doing those interviews, and they're going to be on the site for the next, like, month. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Yep.
Most interesting announcement was definitely Legend of the Galactic Heroes. I'm curious how much they paid for it. They must have gotten it for a song, because there's no way that's selling more than 2,000 or 3,000 copies. Like, no way is that selling more than 2,000 or 3,000 copies. I mean, I could be totally wrong, and I'm sure Sentai would love to tell you that I'm totally wrong about it, but I just can't see it. Sub-only 100 episodes of, you know, show for beardos, like old beardos.
So they got it for a song, so who at Sentai was singing and what did they have to sing order to get the Legend of the Galactic Heroes?
I don't know, but very, very interesting. Golion asks, why didn't ANN do a live Ancast today? X is here. Yeah, sorry about that. So basically, I was very, very busy and I missed the deadline for submitting panels to AX. There's a deadline. You have to turn in your panel submissions by then, and we can go to them afterwards and say, like, hey, sorry, which I had to do this time in order to get our one panel that we did have, which was great, and thanks to everyone who came out for that. But I really didn't feel comfortable asking for two, because I was already asking for a favor on the one, and I really didn't want to push them for more time. So, sorry, we will for sure do one next year. Yeah, sorry about that. I missed it, too. I wanted to do it, too. I really did miss it.
Yeah.
We got a question. Wafidi wants to know, with all the changes on the opinion columns recently, what's the game plan behind all the restructuring? Well, we're just experimenting. We've been doing things kind of the same way for a really long time, and a lot of our columns are hitting, like, 5 and 6 years old. And I gotta tell you, like, that is typically how long one of those runs. Like, they don't just run forever. Answer Man is, like, a total outlier, and it's been run by various people over the years. And, yeah, it's been around for 15 years, but it's had multiple hands, and it's a different beast. Shelf Life's been around forever because Bamboo's also been with the site forever, and, you know, it continues to exist. It also continues to pull an audience. You know, we're keeping Mike Tool around, obviously. People love that column, and we're very proud to publish it. But, like, Jason wanted to retire, and we needed to do something with Tales of the Industry that made more sense. So that moved to a more, when we have a story, we'll publish a story kind of system, which makes a lot more sense for that kind of thing. Astro Toy had to go. It just didn't have the readership. Like, we were losing money on that column. It just honestly did not have the readership it needed to have. And these are the decisions you have to make, you know, when you're producing content. If you've been doing it for years and years and years, like, I feel like all of this stuff, they had great runs, and it was time for them to fade away and try some new stuff. Right now, everything that we're trying, the daily streaming, the editorials, they're all big successes, and we're very proud of it, and I'm really happy with the changes. Mm-hmm. And so those columns, they all had their runs, and, you know, we're kind of moving away from the column thing in general, also because, you know, the way people read things on the internet has changed a lot in the last 10 or 15 years, and oftentimes putting content behind a column name actually obscures what's in it. So, like, some people will see, like, the Mike Tool Show, like, and it'll have, like, a pun for a title, and there will be a little description there, but they're not going to read the description. It's just going to be like, I don't know what that is. And so they're not going to click on it. If we took a Mike Tool Show column and called it 10, or, like, you know, something like 5 Appleseed movies, or why is Appleseed stuck around for so long? Just called it that, mm-hmm. like, twice as many people will click on it. So it's not so much that our content is necessarily, like, changing a whole lot, but the way you get it is gonna change. And so far, so good. Like, I'm very proud of the stuff we've been doing. So, I mean, we're gonna keep doing it that way. I'm happy with the changes. So far, it's been a success. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hopefully it makes sense. It just needs to be clearer what everything is. Okay, so do we have any other questions? Yeah, Bubby asks, are there any writers or creators you wanted to interview but couldn't? Yeah, a ton of them. Mm. Like, lots of them. And it's not necessarily a couldn't, it's more like never had the opportunity. Uh-huh. There have been interviews I've requested in the past and didn't get, especially at cons when they prioritize, you know, who's getting what and everything like that. Uh-huh. But, that happens frequently. There are people I would really love to interview if, you know, if Anno ever is in a situation where he's taking interviews from lowly American journalists, I would want to be, you know, somewhere in that line. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Sure, plenty of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, another random username asks, have you watched God Eater? If so, what's your take on the art style? I haven't. What do you think?
I thought that the art style and the animation style was the best thing about it. I thought that they did a really good job meshing the CG. Like, everybody looks like a concept art for a video game, or like a cutscene in a video game at all times without it being... Like, that sounds like an insult, but it's not cel-shaded... It's hand drawn. It's not cel CG. It just, everybody sort of has a filter over them that makes them look like they're a little cel shaded CG, and it makes the monster. The biggest thing is it makes the monsters gel with the character designs better. It doesn't look like CG monsters next to anime characters. They all feel like they're sort of made of the same stuff. So that was really good. The show itself is not any good. It is like video game plot. It looks like you're watching the prologue to a video game that you're about to play. It is bland, blandy, bland, bland. So, but it looks nice. Like, they did I'm sure it was hard to figure out, and they did a good job with the aesthetic.
Nance Fan asks, what comes out first, Eva 3 or Final Fantasy 15? Probably Evangelion. I'm going to say somebody will get that out before 2017 or whenever Final Fantasy 15 is coming out. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Anything else? I guess we can wrap up here. Oh, okay. I like this question. We can wrap with this one. It says, on ANN, Fanoa asks, how does manga compare to anime in terms of editorial review view count? So, how does content about manga do? Honestly, it struggles. Mm-hmm. It struggles. Reviews for manga do not come near what reviews for anime do. The two manga columns, like, Jason retired. We would have let Jason run House of a Thousand Manga forever, but he wanted to retire. But Right Turn Only was canceled because of low readership. Mm. Like, it was time to figure out what else to do with manga coverage. And for now, we're sticking to reviews. We're always going to have reviews. And Jason and Shannon are going to write editorials for us. So House of 1000 Manga will continue in spirit. It will just be under a different name. It'll be much more direct about what you're about to read. And it might not be a giant review. So, we're going to experiment with manga and do manga-related editorials and see how those do. And moving forward from there, yeah. But I mean, I think it's important for people to understand that manga content, like, and Anand's not alone on this. I've talked to a lot of different people that write about manga, and they do it for various websites. And yeah, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is, but the audience for manga, for editorial about manga reviews, anything, is small. Mm-hmm. It's small, much smaller than it is for anime.
Hmm.
So, and that's, I can back that up with a lot of traffic stats to show you. All right. Okay. Well, so that wraps it up. Thanks everyone for showing up to the chat and asking us a few questions, hanging out for a little bit. It's been a lot of fun.
Hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to everyone for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. I'll see you all next week.